Let's dive into the Word of God, get a charge here from John chapter 16. In this passage of Scripture, before we stand for the reading, the Lord begins to tell His disciples that they're heading into this dispensational period where the Holy Spirit's going to come in and abide with them. His ministry on earth is coming to a close, and that He is going to send the Holy Spirit. He is going to send the Comforter unto them. It's not great news to the disciples, not quite comprehending what is taking place. And so there is some discouragement that begins to settle in, and there's some more explaining that they want from Jesus at this point in His ministry. And so Jesus begins to tell them, you're going to be okay as you head into, and as the Holy Spirit is going to come and abide with you. There is going to be real joy that you're going to have in your heart and in your life. That this sorrow that you're seeing is going to be transformed with me in your life into true joy, real joy. Now, hold on, listen, everybody, watch. If you feel like in 2023 you desire to have joy, would you say amen? Amen. I think for everybody, whether you want to or not, we'd all say we desire joy. We want happiness. This is a brand new year. I love the new year. It's just me. It's a type A personality. It's a brand new slate. It's a new year. It's a time to turn the page and old is gone and we can press forward. And so, but you do comprehend that in a new year, there is some looking back. There's some sorrow that took place. And what our Savior is saying is that sorrow that you've been through is going to be turned into joy with me in your life. Would you stand with me as we look here at this true joy that is found in verse number 22. Now, this is going to be a little bit topical today, starting out this new year. And I just kind of want to give us an encouraging word today. But I want you to look at verse number 22 and look what the word says. It says, and ye now therefore have sorrow. It's not a good thing. Some sadness, discouragement. But I will see you again. How many are thankful for that? Say amen. Amen. And your heart shall rejoice. Now watch this. And your joy no man taketh from you. For the next couple of moments, I want to preach simply a message entitled, Ready or Not, 2023 is here. Ready or Not, 2023 is here. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, it's a brand new year. And Father, we have this entire year to live for You. Will we? Well, Father, I believe it's a great sign we see a church that's packed full of people ready to hear about You. Not here to be entertained, not here because of religious duty. If our heart's right, we're here because we want to be more like You, Savior. Amen. So, Father, give us a good year this year. Father, no matter what took place in 2022, we have a brand new start. It's weird, God, because nothing really has changed over the last even 12 hours since this new year's began. Lord, not a lot has changed, but yet, in our mind, Father, we're renewed somehow. I believe You've done this on purpose for us, that we can start a brand new year. May we be ready. Father, may we live for You. We love You, Savior. Work as only You can now. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank You. You may be seated. As we have now started out 2023, it's truly amazing how fast I feel like time is moving. We look at this past year, it's now gone. It's over. There will never be another 2022 ever again. For some, 2022 was a very intense year. It was a growing year. For some, it was a coming back to God year. For others, it was met with sorrow and pain. And for some, it was met with tremendous growth. At Cross Point, we've watched as the Lord has worked over and over and over again in our midst. And I'll be the first to say we give Him the praise, the honor, and the glory. Carrie and I and our family personally, it was a year that we just decided to live every day for the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that 2022 could have been the year that Jesus Christ returns. He did not, but again, we're facing this year knowing that we have to live every day this year to the max, knowing that, biblically speaking, if we look at prophecy, that 2023 is, it could be a really good year for the Lord to return and for you and I to hear the trump sound. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Amen. But you and I, living this year, we have realized that life does not consist of what should have happened or what might have happened or what hopefully will happen. But life is, through our Lord and Savior, is to be lived with what is happening right now. You see, there are many that live their life and they live it with great regret. They live it in those moments of what if, what might have been. They live their entire life as though it has been a waste up to this point. They live their life and looking back at the last 10 years. And if I only had the last decade again from 2013 to 2023, oh, the things I would have done differently and the things that I would have gotten involved in and this swimming around in the shallow end, I would have stopped that and I would have gone all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would have stepped out by faith and I would have been a better wife or a better husband or a better mom or a better dad, or I would have wasted so much time in the binge watching of television or the going to the movies or the games and the silliness that I feel like I just wasted so many years. There are many in their life that's the way they live. They live looking in the rearview mirror. They live looking back at what could have been. In my life, I've determined never to live my life of these what if moments. But life is to consist for you and for me of what is taking place right now. Could we have done better in 2023? Excuse me. Without a doubt. Could there have been things that you and I improved in? Yes, absolutely. But life is not to be lived looking in the rearview mirror of life of the what if consistent moments. But no, it's that pressing towards the mark. It's that putting your hand to the plow. It's realizing that every day could be our last. That's why the book of James tells us, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Listen to this question. For what is your life? It is even but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, for ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live or do this or that. Every year ought to be lived. Hold on, listen now. Every day ought to be lived as if it is our last. This may be our last day. This may be our last month. This may be our last year. You and I know of those who sat in this auditorium last year who are here no longer with us, and we know families that used to be in church, and we know those who have graduated and gone on to heaven. And even yesterday, Brother George and Miss Berlinda are here today, and even having Williams, a funeral service yesterday. It was just a year ago he was here, and yet you fast forward a year and you and I will never see William on this earth again. But aren't you thankful for William's salvation and seeing him again in heaven? Amen. Amen. You and I are to live every day to its fullest. So we go into 2023, it's the first day, and for some I know this is, it's kind of a bummer that we get up, we go to church, and so many are so tired. You stayed up until 12 a.m. and 1 o'clock. How many went to bed before 12 o'clock? Would you raise your hand? Well, you went to bed before. Well, that's a lot of you. Smart people in here, I'm going to tell you. For others, we celebrate life and live every moment to the fullest. So there, ha, take that. All right. So we have those who went to bed and others, but we come in, it's 11 o'clock service, and there's some get kids ready, grandkids ready. You walk in, you're a little bit tired. But there's no doubt this year we're looking for joy. So what's going to bring you and I happiness this year? For many, happiness is found in making new resolutions. It's turning that new page. It's looking at bettering ourselves. It's those setting goals, making new habits, that breaking old habits. It's that discipline in our lives that we say, okay, this is my year. This is the year that I'm going to clean up the outside, or this is the year we're going to plant that new grass, or this is the year. I said it last year, and I think all of us at around this time, we've just come through the holiday season, and so maybe you're with me today, and it's time to lose a little weight. Don't raise your hand, don't say amen right there, and don't point at anybody. It's not good for your marriage, but we all are kind of determined to lose that weight. I heard somebody say, I determined in 2022 to lose 10 pounds. I only have 15 more to go. So you're getting close. And for others, it's reading that book, you know, or reading several books this year. And I was on this podcast going down to Florida this past week, and it said, if you can read 10 pages a day of a book, just 10 pages, that's easy for many, about a minute and a half per page. And you're talking right around 15 minutes a day. 10 pages will enable you to read a 300-page book, which most books nowadays are not even that long, which would enable you to read 12 books, 12 to 15 books this year. You think about those things and say, okay, this is what I want to work on. Why? Because I want to be a better husband or better wife or better grandparent, or I want to love God more. And what are we doing? We're finding joy in working on ourselves. But why have resolutions? Most of the time we know we failed last year and the year before and the year before, and 2020 was a bust, and 2019 and 18 and 17. It's the same thing every year. You and I, looking at our lives, live with this incredible tension and anxiety because we think that our dreams will come true if this year we get the right degree, or if we meet the right people, or if we get the right job. We assume that our happiness is tied up in our success, and our success depends upon our performance. So we sweat and we struggle and we scheme and we strategize and we wonder why we are not enjoying life. And there are many, when you jump on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and you just look at their social media, you see them in church, you meet them at the workplace, and that joy is not there. There's no happiness. It's complain, and it's sad, and it's negativity, and it's just this kind of, let me put it this way, it's almost this bummer kind of a life. And so this is our time. This is our year. This is what we're going to do. We're going to get off aspartame and Diet Coke. I said that last year, and I did pretty good. But December hit, and I just went eggnog and Diet Coke. It just went all. You just pray for your pastor. Nonetheless, my heart's doing good so far. But if we kept on that motion, we're going to be in big trouble. But nonetheless, we're going to get rid of all these things. We're going to feel good. We're going to do great. And then we get to February, March. It's just the same. Where's our joy? Why don't we as Christians have joy? Why so often do people walk in church where we're supposed to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they're mad, they're upset? And the performance base of looking our best, and our kids have to behave, and marriages have to be perfect, and all that pressure. And we come in, it's so performance based that we can't even sit down and sing blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Our minds are so concentrated on this and this and that. And we got to get here. We got this. And we got to do lunch. And we got to hurry back. It's the new year. We got to get these bills paid. We got to do this. We got to put together the rest of the Christmas presents. And we're doing all this. And all of a sudden, Pastor Jose sings, we're enough for grace. Whoa.
Yes, sir.
What can we learn from 2022 that we can carry into 2023? Of how to have real joy. Our joy is taken from us by several stealers. Now in verse number 22, it says, no man's going to take your joy from you. So when you and I blame others, I'd be happy, but so-and-so was mean. I'd be happy, but so-and-so was a bully. I'd be happy, but my boss is this. No. He said, no man's going to take your joy from you. So how do we hang on to the joy that Christ gives us? Number one, if you're taking notes this morning, we'll go through these pretty quickly today, but I want you to write this down. What kills our joy, number one, is a shortage of devotions. Number one, a shortage of devotions. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, that will show me the path of life. Now listen very carefully, watch. In thy presence, the presence of God, is fullness of joy. In the presence of God is joy. A neglect of personal time with God often precedes a lack of joy. If God is the source of our joy and he promises from his word to sustain that joy, then when you and I are not in the word of God like we ought to be, then we're not drawing from that source. There are many Christians who live their life and I'm miserable and I'm this and we can't get this together and I feel like this was a waste. And oftentimes we just need to ask the question, how much time are we spending in the Word of God? And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests may be known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. You see, devotional time allows you and I to spend time with God. It allows you and I to recalibrate our hearts to his. It's that shortage of devotions. And friend, I'm here to tell you, on the first Sunday of this year, as 2022 is gone and 2023 is here, if there was ever a habit that you and I ought to develop this year, you ready for this? It ought to be in the Word of God. Be in his Word. Man, there's some stuff we read all the time. Trust me, I've got the blogs and I've got the podcasts and the TED Talks. And I've got even the newspapers now that I get every week. And I'm reading this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, you put your mind to some of that and you're going to get discouraged pretty quickly. But get your mind in the Word of God. Friend, it will transform your life. And this excuse that we come up with, we don't have time. We all have time. Busy. We're just so busy. Just busy. I tell you, friend, it's the world we live in. 2023, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's not going to slow down. Okay, I wish we could go back to the 40s and the 50s. Well, wish all we want, but we're not going back to the 40s and the 50s. It's busy. You know, we have to do prioritize. Now, prioritizing is being in the Word of God. Well, I don't have time. We have time. That's just so boring. Do you know the Jesus that I know? Say amen.
Amen.
His book is anything but boring.
Amen.
Our problem is we have been so brainwashed with movies and with the entertainment of today. I'm telling you, friend, turn that stuff off for a while and watch how God works. For every teenager that's in here, you know what I'm talking about. It's amazing. Pastor Chris, Miss Missy, we take our teens to camp and the teenagers get away from their phones for 1 week. We're talking about 5 days, not even a full week. 5 days, they turn off their phone, they can't do it. But Ted, Miss Peggy, you know this is right. All of a sudden, by day two and about day three, that third, fourth sermon, all of a sudden something starts to happen in our kids' lives.
Amen.
You know why? They turned off the world. Instead of yelling at our teenagers, maybe you and I ought to turn off the world a little bit this year. Set these gadgets aside, these devices, and jump into his word. Say, well, yeah. Gary and I were laughing about this today, because have you ever noticed there's I don't know if you've ever read the book for the Schellenberger yet, Richard. What's the habits book? It's called Atomic Habits. I don't know if you've ever read Atomic Habits. You got to jump into it. But that book will tell you quickly that there's never in our minds a right time to start something. Have you ever noticed that? Like this year, we've already said, you know, we're going to end the new year and we're going to go into new year. Carrie and I, we're going to eat right. We're going to do away with carbs. We're going to do this. But you can't start it on a Sunday. You know what I mean? Even though it's the first day, it's the guest started on a Sunday and then it's Monday and it's the new year. But you can't do it on Monday. Our kids are out of school. How are you supposed to start working out tomorrow when your kids are out of school? You know what I mean? Sort of put off until Tuesday and that's a good day. I just tell you, friend, don't wait to start reading God's word. God's word is what's going to give you and I joy. The sorrow and the upset, and I have conversations with folks all the time in the Christian community, and they're so worried, and oh, did you hear about this, the conspiracy theorists, and this, and oh, now this is going to happen, and they're lining everything up, and the globe's coming together, and this is just a test run, and this is a test run, this is a test run. I'm like, did you not know for like 2,000 years there's been test runs? God has already told us he's coming back. Amen? We know we win. We're on the winning side. What will steal our joy? Number one is the shortage of devotions. Number two, would you write this down? An unappreciative attitude. The longer I live, the more I see that the root of many sins is ingratitude. Psalm 68 and verse number 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily, hold on, listen now, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even as God our salvation. Here's what it says, Selah. You know what that means? Go back, read it again, think about it. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah, think about it. Every day He's loading you and I down with His grace and His mercy, and He's taking care of you and I. And as He talks to His disciples here, look, your sorrow is going to be turned into joy. Why? Because you have me right there with you, and you don't have to worry, and you don't have to complain, and be fearful of someone taking and stealing your joy from you. No, an unthankful spirit leads to melancholy. It bends our mind toward introspection, focusing our hearts on our needs rather than our blessings. When you and I don't live a thankful life, we're focusing on self. When you and I don't live a thankful life, it's looking at everyone else. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Stop looking. Hold on, listen now. You want joy this year? Jump in the Word of God. When you jump in the Word of God, you'll realize how much you and I have. And when we realize how much you and I have, it's not a concentration on me and what I don't have. It's a concentration on, look how good our God is. How many agree that God's good today? Would you say amen? You know how we came to that conclusion? Because we've felt Him. We know Him. There's some in this room that over the last several days, including my sister Tamara, is down in Florida, and they just purchased two new cars, a brand new truck. They got a Suburban. And some of you on Facebook I've seen recently have bought new vehicles. It's a good time of the year to buy, the end of the year, and lots are trying to get rid of. They used to anyways. Used cars, such a mess. That's a whole other story. But nonetheless, it used to be this great thing, and a lot of people here got new cars. Can I just tell you, the attitude of unthankfulness says, wish that was me. Wish I got a new car. Must be nice. But a person who gives thanks to God is thankful for the car that God blessed somebody else with. Amen. Is anybody with me today? Amen. Is thankful for the trips that somebody else gets to go on. It's thankful for the marriage that was restored. It's thankful for the teenager that's serving God. It's thankful that you and I as brothers in Christ get to be happy for each other. Why? Because God is good. And a person who concentrates on Him and an appreciative attitude of God, you blessed me with your benefits, and Lord, what you've done for me this year, and God, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for this, and the old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one. When you and I are thanking God, Lord, thank you for this, and thank you for this, and thank you for this, it allows you and I to concentrate on our Savior, not looking around and, well, I wish I had that, boy, I wish I could go there, boy, that's not fair, they had this. Boy, all of a sudden, I'm just telling you, I'm just going to be super frank. It's the first message of the new year. That is a miserable way to live. And to be honest, it's a miserable person to be around. I love to be around people that are just happy for other people. You got a raise, praise God. You bought a new car, I'm so happy. Well, it's new for me, but it's a 2017. Praise God, does it get you from point A to point B? That's wonderful. Hey, friend, what will steal our joy? Number one, shortage of devotions. Number two, unappreciative attitude. Number three, would you write this down? We're almost done. This one builds from the last one, but it's dreaming without God. When our spirit becomes burdened with the difficulties of life because we've neglected to thank God for His blessings. Now listen, the grass begins to look greener anywhere that we are not. Now friend, you ready for this? This is so us. Hey, well, that's so-and-so. Yeah, I saw them put out there. Friend, I have come to realize, you ready for this? It doesn't matter who you are or where you live. Nobody is happy with the weather where you live. Is anybody with me? Like, nobody's happy. I got five sisters down in Florida. They are, oh, we just love, we saw that snow on Christmas, negative degrees in temperature. We would die to have that. We just want to go up there and we want to see the leaves. We're all looking at their Facebook and they're on the beach on December 28th. We're saying, when I went in Yav to be down there in the sand and the sun, and nobody's happy. And also when we begin to look at what everybody else has, that grass begins to look greener anywhere that we are not. Dreaming outside the will of God is tricky because we can easily believe it's God's will for us to look over the fence. But I want you to listen, college students. I want you to listen, young adults. Be careful. Be careful when your mind is out on the prairie of what ifs. You will not regain your joy of where you are. When you begin to dream about being here and doing this and having this, and if I only, we're again like a 10-year-old. And that if I just got this, I'll be happy for Christmas. If I only had this, then I'll be satisfied forever and ever. And you know as well as I do, in a good maybe 13, 14 days, that toy is laid to the side and they never play with it again. And the batteries rust in there and eventually it goes to the yard sale or it gets thrown away. Why? Because that kid was saying, if I only had this, I will be happy. And yet, like that 8 or 10-year-old, you and I live the same way. If I just had this job, if I just had this raise, if I just had this car, if I just had that marriage, if my kids would just fill in the blank. Hold on, listen now very carefully. When you and I start dreaming outside of God's will, you and I had better be very careful that He is at the forefront of our mind, that in every decision in 2023 that we make it knowing that God is leading and that God is guiding and that God is directing and that God is at the forefront of whether it be going back to school or education or let me just put it this way, teenagers, that certain someone that you're going to marry, it's not just all about looks and it's not just all about the perfect family tree. No, friend, is it God's will for your life? It's a very important question to ask. Yet you and I going into this year, if we're not careful, we begin dreaming about this, and I want to do this, I want to better myself. And let me just ask this question. You ready for this? Where is God in our decisions? Where is God in that decision to do the right thing? Can I put it this way? For you and I, if we're not careful, it comes to a place where truly I believe as Americans, we make big steps in our life and we'll ask everyone. And God is the last person we seek for advice. And yet if we put Him first, friend, I'm here to tell you, He will give you a life that is better than you can ever imagine. Amen. Gary, I don't think you mind if I tell this story. We're talking on the way back up from my parents, and we're talking about where we live over here in Avon, and we're talking about some others who have moved in and this and that, my sisters and buying a house and this and that. We're just talking about family in general. And Carrie said, honey, do you remember back in 2018, we were buying a house in California? And the house in California is just astronomical. You know, it's the Palenzi. It's a market that's just LA County, very, very expensive. We walked through these model homes to look at building our model home there in California. And we got the smallest of small house that you could build. There's four models there. You remember the four models. And we went in the 1,800 square feet. We were moving from West Virginia, I think a 3,800 square foot house. We move it here, seven people, 1,800 square feet. It's what we could afford. This is what we're going to buy. And the person who was selling it to us walked us through several of the other models. And we went through the biggest model that you could have. And it was the biggest. You walk through and you go, there's bedroom downstairs, fireplace in the den, 5-bedroom house, all the 4 bedrooms upstairs. We put all the kids upstairs and us have a bedroom downstairs, like just this incredible house. And I remember my wife said, "Hun, we don't need this. I'll be perfectly satisfied in what we can afford." Amen. And I remember thinking, Pastor, it's as men, God, I wish I could get my wife the big one. I remember just a fleeting thought, but one day, wouldn't it be amazing if I could walk my wife into a house like this? Never knowing that just 3 years later, God would be moving us to Indianapolis, Indiana. We bought a house sight unseen, FaceTime and Glory as our realtor walking us through. Bought it, it's just being built. Stick, remember Billy Eider, it's just thick built out there. Snow everywhere. Can I tell you? The model house we have here was that exact house we walked through, the big model in California. Amen. When you put God first and you just let Him dream for you, you watch what God can do in your life. Amen. Let God dream for you this year. And you don't have to have it all. And if I just have this, if you put all that stress away, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Teenagers, let me tell you something. Please stop dreaming about it. I want to be this and I want to do this and I want to make it here. Step aside this year and just say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Because I'm here to tell you, friend, I know I don't make the most money in this room. And I know I probably never will, but I'm telling you, living in God's will, I am as happy could be. Because God is number one. How many want to have happiness this year? Would you say amen? Amen. Then be careful of the things that will steal your joy. Be in your Bible. When you're in your Bible, you'll have the right type of attitude. What's that attitude? It's a thankful attitude. When you have a thankful attitude, you begin to realize my dream and aspirations are not about self, but it's about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus, the Lamb of God. And friend, when you live that way, every week, no matter what comes, will turn sorrow, verse number 22, into joy. Amen. And when you have that joy, no one can take it from you.